CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
The Built by Bama Online podcast presents Daybreak for Monday, March the 30th. Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BamaOnline.com, with you, joined by BOL team reporter Charlie Potter. And Charlie, as we bring you in here, this was supposed to be a should have been show, really. It should be the second full week of spring practice that we're getting into at the University of Alabama. The final four should be set for the 2019-2020 college basketball season. We should be about 10 days away from the opening shots at the Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia being played. Instead, a new reality, unlike anything we could have imagined just a couple weeks ago. First and foremost, Charlie, I hope this Monday, this late March morning, finds you in good shape, you and your wife. And that's the biggest concern we have for everyone out there still at this point. Yeah, we're going to talk sports. We're going to talk Alabama-specific sports, as we always do here. But hoping that you're doing good, Charlie.
Yeah, we're doing good. We've only been out about once a week to get groceries. We've been doing a lot of stuff around the house, stuff we probably wouldn't have gotten to do otherwise. And we've been riding our bikes and running and stuff whenever we can. So it gives you an opportunity to do a little bit more. My wife, obviously being a nurse, she comes in contact or close contact with what could be people dealing with the coronavirus on a daily basis. So, we're well aware of that, but, we're doing well and we're trying to stay busy. I mean, I think I did a decent job this past week of talking to a bunch of people and getting the interviews up and trying to speak this season into existence by, previewing the upcoming games for the 2020 season. But, it is strange times. We're trying to make the best of it, and I hope you guys are doing well too, Travis.
We're hanging in there, Charlie, kind of in the same boat, just trying to take all the precautions that we can, trying to abide by what we've got here locally now is a 24-hour curfew, I guess, where you're supposed to only get out for essentials now moving forward. That went into effect on Sunday evening, so we've got that now in the Tuscaloosa area. Netflix continues to be sort of a saving grace on a lighter note through all this. I did consume, Charlie, Ozark over the weekend. I did make it last at least from Friday, Saturday into Sunday. So I didn't binge it all in one shot. But season three of Ozark, have you taken that in yet?
I haven't. I haven't even started this series yet. It's on the list. We're really bad about kind of holding off or pushing back starting series. I don't know why. Like, there will be the ones that everyone's talking about, like Tiger King. I mean, we watched that the opening weekend. I think everybody did that. But there are other ones that you can tell everybody thinks positively of that will just kind of add it to the list and forget about it. And that's been one of those. So, I mean, now we have time to do it. This past weekend we did work in the yard. We rode our bikes to campus and stuff like that. But it's on the list. So we have a growing list, and it seems to be getting longer by the day. But right now, it's good that we still have that reserve to tap into when things maybe get a little boring. So I guess we're trying to savor them as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm jealous officially of you guys, because I'd love to be in a spot right now, knowing what I know about that show, to be in a position of having all three seasons still available to me. So I'm jealous of that. And, it in neighborhoods and stuff, I don't know about you guys, probably the same, but in our neighborhood anyway, we've seen more people outside and trying to walk and ride bikes, golf carts, all kinds of stuff. On Sunday, we had one of the neatest things I've seen through this situation yet. We had a young fella down the street from our house. It was supposed to be, I believe, maybe his fifth or sixth birthday today. And with the situation being what it is, just couldn't really get everybody together. So what they did was they set up a drive-by birthday party for this young guy and literally cars like a parade, a procession went down the street, had signs wishing him happy birthday, balloons, all kinds of stuff, and just rode by his house and did sort of a drive-by birthday party. I'd never seen anything like that before. His parents requested no gifts. They didn't want anything that could potentially, you know, transmit the virus or put anybody in harm's way. But I'll say this, man, and I know it goes for us in our business even, at BamaOnline.com. I'd say it's bringing out the creativity in each of us.
No doubt. I mean, that's an awesome story. And you know, we rode our bikes from our house to campus. We lived probably about 5 miles away. And along the way, we would kind of, you know, jet in and out of neighborhoods just as detours. And we were over there in the Highlands, the ritzy area over there before you get to campus from the other side of McFarland. And a lot of people have started to put teddy bears in the windows for people that are driving around with their kids, maybe just to get out of the house and, you know, stretch their legs a little bit for kids to see. And it's cool. You know, there are a lot of people that are going above and beyond to show acts of kindness. You see the people that, you know, you see the viral videos of guys licking deodorant in the stores and just being assholes during this. But there are, I think, far more cases of people being nice and going out of their way to help others, whether it's things like that, the birthday party you talked about, you know, all the people showing up and helping out the local businesses here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And it's really good to see, because, you know, these are difficult times, but it seems like there's been a lot more good than bad from just a human element standpoint of this thing.
You know, it's reminiscent for a completely different reason, but still, it's an emergency situation. It is in some way similar to what we went through with the tornado of April the 27th, 2011. And you're right. Thankfully, in 99% of the cases that you'll see out there, the situations you'll see, it does bring out the good. And I was out and about a little bit Saturday. And you're right. From a local business standpoint, I witnessed that firsthand in the Indian Hills section of Tuscaloosa. Some of the local businesses certainly benefiting from Tuscaloosans doing their very best to support local businesses for as long as they can. And I think these local businesses understand too, if we get to the point where it's essentially a shutdown of just about everything, they understand that, and they're more than willing to go along with whatever needs to be done. But you know, it is a juggling act, especially for the smaller businesses out there and trying to make it work through these certainly difficult times. Some things we want to talk about here on the podcast today, Charlie, from a sports perspective. We still had a little bit of news there towards the end of last week. Herb Jones, the junior forward, joins John Petty Jr. and Kyra Lewis Jr. in announcing via social media anyway that he will, in fact, also test the NBA draft process. Charlie, did that surprise you, or sort of given the way that things lay out for basketball players who want to take that route, was it a totally perhaps sensible move by Herb Jones?
It can't hurt. It's always good to get feedback. And Alabama hasn't had a great track record of guys testing these waters and then coming back. My Braxton Key did it. And then he obviously transferred to Virginia. Yeah, he's the big one, or maybe the first where you kind of see this process go through. But I think the NBA does it right. They give these guys the opportunity to go through the process without hiring an agent, and then giving them the option to come back to school if they don't get the feedback they want. It sucks for the guys that choose to do that early from an NFL standpoint, and then they're left high and dry and they can't come back to school. So I think all three guys doing that smart. I think with Herb, it's the situation where he does get feedback. He gets to learn and know what he needs to work on, because I just foresee him coming back. He's a guy that clearly dealt with injury after injury last season, with the wrist being the most prominent. And, you know, he still needs to improve his offensive game. He's one of the best defenders in the country, even with one hand. But he needs to refine himself as an offensive player. And that's something Nate Oates said when he spoke early last week on a teleconference, is that coming into the year, you know, there were really three guys that they thought could do this, and all three now have done it, with Herb joining Kyra Lewis and John Petty. But you know, he mentioned how that he thought that Herb's injury kind of slowed down his development, and how, you know, he could come back and have an unbelievable year and play himself into a better position. So getting that feedback from this draft process will help him in his senior year to improve that draft stock, because he is a guy that has the frame that the NBA is kind of looking for these days. And if he can, you know, improve offensively, then he's a guy that could, you know, find himself in the first round potentially. So it doesn't surprise me, but it also will not shock me in the least bit to see Herb Jones come back to Tuscaloosa for one more year.
How do you look at this in terms of the uncertainty of how the draft process is going to lay out? You know, until we have a better understanding of kind of how the NBA season itself is going to play out, it's impossible, isn't it, to sort of project when we might have an NBA draft, how that could go into perhaps the start of the next school year, academic calendar year. Is there some ways in which the uncertainty involving all of that could both help and hurt Alabama in the case of these three guys that are going to test the draft waters? Or do you think a couple of these guys like Petty and Lewis are pretty much already decided regardless, and maybe it's Herb that's got a little more thinking to do?
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaway from when Nados initially announced this before guys like you know, Kyra and Petty confirmed it the next day on social media was how you can't really wait on these guys at this point. You have to start recruiting their replacements. And if they choose to come back, it's a pleasant surprise and you just kind of address it from a roster standpoint. But the deadline right now is set for June 15th, I believe. It's about, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on that day. Guys have until that point to withdraw their name from the NBA draft. And right now, we don't even know when the season's going to resume. And a lot of people have kind of pointed to the summertime, either June or July, for that to happen. And if that's the case, then the draft clearly gets pushed back as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But it sounds like Oates and company are taking a proactive approach and actively recruiting replacements. That being said, with what he said last week about Herb, it sounds like they expect him to come back. It's smart for him to go to take advantage of this opportunity and then, you know, get feedback and learn what it is he needs to improve on as a senior. That way he could be in a better position for the 2021 draft. But you never know. I mean, like I said, Alabama doesn't have a great track record when it comes to this. I believe Tevin Mack did the same thing as well. Now he played this past season at Clemson. So you want that guy to have that opportunity, but with this, you can't really sit around and wait because the recruiting process never stops. And so I think with the initial two, you recruit their replacements. If they come back, great. I think Kyra Lewis is a guy that's being projected as a first round talent, and he's not likely to come back, but if John Petty comes back, you take that, and I think you expect Herb to come back, so maybe you hold off on recruiting his replacement at the time.
Yeah, and you know, you picked up Josh Primo on Friday of last week. That was a huge pickup, a 5-star combo guard out of Toronto, Ontario, to go along with Keon Ambrose in the early period. So you know you have a couple of guys set for this 2020 class, but as we've outlined here, with the uncertainty of Lewis and Petty, which essentially, as you said, Nate Oates in his comments pretty much made it clear, you got to go ahead and recruit replacements for those spots. But now with Herb potentially out there and just the uncertainty of basketball in general right now at every level, it's a confusing time. It's very much an up in the air time for the sport of basketball in general. It is Daybreak on a Monday, part of the Built by Bama Online podcast. Travis Schreier and Charlie Potter with you. Hey, Charlie, expected on Monday to hear perhaps from the NCAA on a ruling for extended eligibility for spring sports student athletes. That would be more along the lines, I guess, of golf, tennis, baseball, softball. I guess track and field involved in that as well. I mean, this has got to be a layup for the NCAA, doesn't it? I mean, this has got to be essentially a rubber stamp move. Spring student athletes, not just seniors, are going to get their year back, right? I mean, they should.
You would think so, but I mean, the NCAA has got a lot of head scratching moves. I mean, you just look at what they did initially with Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend. They started a GoFundMe to help people dealing with the COVID-19 virus, and the NCAA shut it down before, you know, going back on that and restarting it back up. So you would think, but you never know. And it'll be interesting to see, though, how it affects Alabama, because you know, I talked with Brad Bohannon last week, the head baseball coach at Alabama, and you know, there's a lot of uncertainty because it's at a in a sport like baseball with the scholarship limitations, and then you obviously have to look at the Major League Baseball draft. There's a lot of unknowns right now. And he said that they've had some, you know, high level conversations with kids. And I think there's some that want to come back, but with the scholarship limitations, it's also tough to ask maybe a senior that is expecting to end his baseball career or maybe move on to the next step for him to come back for another year and spend $20,000 on a student loan just to play baseball. So I think there's a lot of moving parts, but first and foremost, just for them to have the opportunity, yeah, that should be a slam dunk for the NCAA to get that done.
In terms of the highly visible sports in the spring, I think it could be huge for softball, because for Patrick Murphy's team, you could be talking about a total reset of his 2020 roster, because you got very important players like Alyssa Brown, senior. You've got Taylor Clark, a senior, graduate student, Alexis Mack, a grad student that transferred in from Oregon, as we know. Bailey Hempel, senior, Sarah Cornell, senior, Claire Jenkins, senior. She was redshirting this year anyway with an injury. Crystal Goodman, senior. I mean, you think about being able to bring back this team that was already veteran laden, you know, that's huge. And with softball, not the pro opportunities like there is, as we know, with baseball. So much more likely for softball players to absolutely take advantage of that extra year. And it's not just the seniors that you're talking about here. You're talking about the difference between two more years with Montana Fouts in the circle for you, and three with this potential extension or this carryover this year of eligibility into 2020, 2021. So that's going to be newsy. There's no doubt about it. The word coming from that meetup, that meeting involving the extended eligibility of a year for spring sport athletes. Hey, Charlie, as we get out of here on a Monday edition of Daybreak, time to make a case. We've been doing this pretty regular here on the podcast of late. Today, where the Alabama football team is concerned, assuming we're going to get back to football at some point down the road in 2020, we're going to make the case this morning for Josh Jobe, the junior cornerback, and how he sort of fits into things at the corner position with Trayvon Diggs as a senior, exhausting his eligibility onto the NFL. Also, because you have to consider the star position in all of this. So with even Patrick Surtain II coming back, Charlie, it's not just one spot we're talking about here. It's potentially a couple of spots.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is, yeah, because there's a lot of veteran leadership and experience leaving that secondary at both corner and safety, and those guys can play in the slot as well. So, yeah, man, Surtain, he gives them a lot of position flexibility because he's a guy that's worked at star before, so they can move him inside if they wanted to in nickel and dime situations. You can play him on the boundary and base or keep him there and find a new star. But there's a lot of openings, and When you think about just, they have to fill at least one vacancy at corner. Josh Jobe's the first person to come to mind because, you know, we're sitting here last summer, and at the SEC Media Days, I believe Nick Saban was asked specifically about Jobe, and he said that they view him as a potential starter and a guy that, you know, when he's playing the right way, they have confidence in him to be in that starting lineup. And you know, that was before this last season even started. He kind of started the year with the first team defense. And then, you know, whether it was the hand injury or just inconsistent play and emotional play, that kind of derailed that a little bit. If he's a guy that can keep it together from an emotional standpoint, he's a talented player. You know, his teammates look at him as an aggressive player, probably the hardest hitter in the secondary. And they said that last year with a guy like Xavier McKinney on the roster. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth in a minute. But if Josh Jobe can you know, play consistently and keep his emotions in check, yeah, he's a guy that you just pencil in as a starter because he's shown that he has the potential for that just as early as last year.
Yeah, it's a maturity thing, isn't it, with Josh Jobe as much as anything? Because when you look at the measurables and you look at the skill set, he checks all those boxes. And perhaps getting that start in place of Trayvon Diggs against Michigan in the Citrus Bowl, Charlie, will give him the push that he needs. Josh Gattis, as we remember in that game, didn't waste any time going right at Josh Jobe. And I thought he responded to it pretty well. You know, ideally, as we saw early last season, the situation for the entirety of 2019 would have had Trayvon Diggs and Patrick Surtain as the top two corners. But then when they went to nickel, Surtain would have slid inside to star. Jobe was going to be the corner to come on in the five defensive backs. And that's what it was for the first couple of games. Had some issues with Jobe. He really had a penalty-laden stretch there, kind of getting started to the 2019 season. That didn't help him either. And ultimately, you know, Alabama went with you know, old dependable, old faithful at that star position in Shaheem Carter. But, yeah, with multiple roles that fit the cornerback position open, and this has got to be the year for Josh Jobe. But you look at some of these other guys, and they fit those same boxes, too, in terms of physical – you know, attributes and talents and things like that. Marcus Banks in there in his second year now. Ronald Williams comes in from the junior college ranks. You got Jaquez Robinson as a was an early enrollee as a true freshman. Jalen Armour Davis is in that mix. Brandon Turnage. So it's not that there's a shortage of numbers, right, at the corner position.
No, it's just a shortage of experience, and Jobe has the most. And you know, I talked to Xavier McKinney, and that part of that interview will be up on the site later this morning. But you know, Jobe is the first guy to come out of his mouth when he was asked about, you know, who can step up with so many guys leaving the secondary, and he has the potential. You mentioned it, the penalties, and he lets that affect him. I don't remember what game it was, but we're sitting up in the press box, and I'm looking through my binoculars because he comes, you know, walking over to the sideline, and Nick Saban tries to say something to him, and he doesn't really listen to it. A couple of teammates try to say something. He just keeps his head down. I think Scott Cochran tried to talk to him. A bunch of other guys. He made his way over to the kicking net, and that's over toward the student section side of the stadium. And this happened like on the 25 or 30 yard line on the opposite side of the field. So he walked through the entire bench and just wouldn't listen to anybody. And it took, I believe it was Javier Arenas, you know, got on a knee and was talking to him and kind of talked him out of his funk. But that's just kind of the dilemma he dealt with last year, is that he let his emotions get the best of him. When something went you know, wrong on the field, whether it was a penalty or maybe he messed up on special teams or something, he let it affect him. And then he wasn't the same after that because he is a talented player. I believe it was Patrick Surtain last year before the Citrus Bowl said that he brings a lot of fire to the defense when he's on the field, but he has to continually play with that fire lit. And if he can do that, he can be a star on this defense. But they do, you're right, they do have other options. They do have other spots available. You know, mentioned in that interview with Xavier McKinney, one of the first players he mentioned was Marcus Banks. You know, he played a little bit as a freshman last year, and I think he can make that next step. You wonder about a guy like Jalen Armour Davis, because he came in with that same class with Surtain and Jobe, but he suffered that injury as a freshman, and he had to sit out. And last year, you know, he's obviously behind the eight ball of everybody else. And Ronald Williams is a guy, too, that if they choose to play Surtain at star, you look at it, it makes a lot of sense to play the junior college guy on the boundary opposite of maybe a Josh Jobe and put Surtain at star in that nickel role. So they have options, but a lot of that is just inexperienced. And, you know, they would love to get a guy like Josh Jobe to really start clicking and to flip that switch and be able to be not only a consistent performer, but a leader back there in that secondary.
Yeah, it's tough, man. If the emotional part of it, the maturity part of it gets in your way at that position, Charlie, from being able to sort of put the nut, and you've heard Nick Saban talk about it before, you know, being able to put, you know, both the bad plays and the good plays behind you. And especially at a spot like corner, and especially in a defense like Alabama's, where the expectation for you coming in is that you're going to be able to play a lot of man coverage, because that's what they're going to ask of you. And yeah, just from a connect the dot sort of viewpoint of this thing, I think you kind of outlined it there. The most sensible prediction for football at some point in 2020 at these spots in the Alabama defense, Surtain, Jobe, Ronald Williams. I mean, those are the three guys if you're just going to connect dots. But, you know, maybe Marcus Banks has got a little Anthony Averett in him. You know, maybe, as you said, Jalen Armour Davis, now a good bit removed from that knee injury, a year and a half now removed from that knee injury that he sustained in 2018. Maybe he's ready. And we've also seen Jalen Armour Davis work at Star a good bit, too. So pretty interchangeable with some of these guys, what they ask them to do. But it's going to be a lot of fun to, you know, look, I wish we were going out there today, right, to see some more of it. Unfortunately, we're not, Charlie. And with that, though, we got some great coverage still coming up at BamaOnline.com. Tell us a little bit more. You got some stuff with Xavier McKinney coming up on the website.
Yeah, I mean, X has always been good to me from a media standpoint, and I talked to him, and I'll have his perspective on what the coronavirus has done to affect his preparation for the draft. And also, it's something a lot of people don't think about, but now you have the captain ceremony at Denny Chimes. This is canceled for the time being. So that'll be something they do later on. But, you know, his thoughts on that, that was something he was looking forward to. And his thoughts on next year's secondary. I talked to him. I'll have something up on Will Anderson. I talked to his mom because, unfortunately, his grandparents, both of them are in the hospital with COVID-19. But terrible. Also just get her thoughts on how he's handling this as an early enrollee that was right there on the doorstep of his first college practice. And I have a lot more. I've got other interviews planned. I know Kirk is trying to do some Q&As with former players. And right now I'm trying to do as much looking to the future and talking to players getting ready for the draft, or just – you know, how guys are handling this situation, then looking back. So, you know, like I said, these weekly or you know, every other day look at opponents. I'm trying to speak football season into existence because you know, this is something that a lot of us don't want to live without. I mean, yes, it's my job. I get a paycheck for it, but I also love the sport. So, you know, we'll try to do that as much as we can and, you know, just hope for the best.
It's good for our country's morale when we have football. Maybe that's how Roger Goodell is justifying keeping the draft right where he's keeping it for the time being.
I wanted to ask you this. Did you see that story from the I don't remember what it was. I don't want to throw somebody under the bus incorrectly, but did you see the story where somebody had spoken to somebody and the idea was to push football season up and play it in the summer? Did you see
that? I saw something about that. I mean, you know, we tried to basically kill off a fan base here at Alabama with all the 2:30 and afternoon kickoffs last year in September. Okay. You want to do that in July, maybe? I mean, are you going to work it out where you play basically every night of the week so you can play? Yeah. I think you would have to play, Charlie. You'd have to stage games every night in July because that's the only way people could survive those games. Unless you just say, look, we're not going to play with fans at all. You know what I mean? I mean, you talk about a health hazard for everybody involved if you do that. I don't think you're getting through one health hazard and protecting yourself from another all that well if that's the move you make.
No, I mean, if you wanted people to die, then play games in Tuscaloosa in July. But also, you got to think about it. I mean, they're not going to be done with the stadium. So they obviously didn't talk to Nick Saban or Greg Byrne. But and I hate to bash somebody's reporting. I really do. But when I saw that, I was just like, this ain't it, Chief. This ain't
it. No, that's not it. Maybe in the Big Ten. You know, or the Pac-12
there.
Yeah. Maybe in some of the G5 leagues, you know, you could get that done, but nah, down here in the South, even the ACC. Wow. Conference USA.
Yeah.
Oof.
And it's such a developmental AAC. Sport. It's such a developmental sport. You can't do this without practice. So
you gotta just practice.
Play game. I don't understand. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest.
It's a pie in the sky type report there. Well, Charlie, we appreciate your great stuff with us there at BamaOnline.com. Always enjoy you here on Daybreak as well. Talk to you again soon.
No problem, man. Always good to catch up.
For Charlie Potter, Travis Schreier, hoping the rest of your Monday goes exceedingly well. Keep it locked to BamaOnline.com. We got updates coming for you, both from a football and basketball perspective. You're going to have some news to keep your ears and eyes open as it relates to the potential year edition of eligibility for spring sports student athletes as well. All that and more at BamaOnline.com. So long, everybody.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.